Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The NBA and college basketball are back. The NFL playoffs are right around the corner. With all these sports going on, there are plenty of bets to lock in. So if you're thinking about picking the Lakers to repeat the NBA championship, or someone upset Pat Mahomes, is that how you say it, Chaz? Pat Mahomes?
I think Pat Mahomes. No, I'm sorry. What am I talking about? It's Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. All right. So if you think the Lakers are going to repeat the NBA championship, or someone to upset Pat Mahomes. Mahomes, okay.
Yep.
And the Chiefs, you need to go to betonline.ag. That's AG for Antigua. Get around the gambling loopholes there. Okay. Chaz, who are you going to put your money on?
The thing is, I think this is a prime time for bettors, the best time ever, because COVID throwing wrenches all over the place. I think you can really pick a weird underdog that the house doesn't. I mean, they typically the house can sort of hedge for any possibility, right? But in the time of COVID, who knows what's going to happen? So I'm betting healthy underdogs across the board. Vegan underdogs.
Okay, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's BetOnline, BetOnline. .ag and sign up today. Bet online, your online sports book experts. Happy New Year's from our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And it's here to help you have clean balls in the new year. Ring in the new year with the right tools for the job. Whether it's the Lawnmower 3 trimmer, the Crop Preserver deodorant, and moisturizer or the Crop Reviver toner, Manscaped products will help you start the new year outright. Chaz, when was the last time you had a funny manscaping experience?
Well, this whole below the belt thing is odd to me because I thought you were supposed to shave your chest with it too.
Yeah, I think chests are probably more likely to be shaved.
Yeah, but chest is far above the belt.
So yeah, so it's an above the belt experience.
It's a universal tool, but when's the last funny manscaped experience I had? Body grooming. Huh. It's a great product.
It's great for your face.
It's great. That's what I do. Shave my face before I shave my face. That should be their new motto. Shave your face before you shave your face.
Yeah, I love a brand new trimmer thing. But
I had some French barber down the road who told me that shaving with a razor destroys your face, and so you should only go electric.
Oh, really?
That's what he told me.
Why? What was his rationale?
That you're like stripping skin off your face.
Jesus, surely that's a good thing. Sort of the old muck.
You'd think, but he said no, and he's a fine-looking French barber.
All right.
Yeah.
Listeners of the show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code DIRTYWATER, DITYWATER, Dirty Water, at manscaped.com. Happy New Year to everybody. I'm Derek Riley. I'm with Chaz Smith. Well, not quite yet. He's actually on the mountain somewhere in Wyoming, Jackson Hole. But he'll be here soon. But welcome to the 40th installment of Dirty Water, where conversation is as pleasant as a good marriage. Today's guest on Dirty Water needs no introduction, although an introduction he shall get. He has two short arms like those of a child, yet bulging with muscle and ending in thick worker's wrists. And from those wrists emerge two tiny hands, well cared for, distinctly bourgeois. Place is noble and vulgar at the same time, his expanding brow marked by a thousand anxieties, sins, and half-formed thoughts. He is a tough, no-nonsense, well-bred Christian gentleman who writes with a magnetic adult style. Our guest, Steve Longtom Shearer. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Derek. Amazing. Absolutely excelled yourself yet again.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, that's quite an achievement.
Well, which achievement?
Getting to 40.
Oh, 40 installments of Dirty Water. Yeah, it's,
yeah.
We've stalled a little with Christmas and New Year, but we're back. You live from Lennox Head. Chaz not live anywhere at the moment, but he'll be here soon. So Steve, you're a tour correspondent amongst other things.
Yeah.
Sudden cancellation of events 2 and 3, Sunset and Steamer Lane, possibly, likely no bells.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. Those three early 80s waves of like an event.
Well, from that point of view, it was always going to be a big downshift from Pipe. I mean, Pipe was fucking epic, I thought. I mean, just to go back to Pipe, even if it was the start of the tour and they fucked it up and it should be the end, it was still epic. To go back to Sunset and then Steamer Lane was always going to be a big anti-climax, but then that's what this sport does better than any other, doesn't it?
It's great. It's a great anticlimactic sport. Why do you think Sunset and Steamer Lane got put on the schedule? Because they're very odd choices, and they're not sponsored by anyone.
It's hard to go into the thought process there. It really is. I mean, who was in the room? Who made the decisions? Whose idea was it? I mean, even just practically speaking, to think that they were going to go to the epicenter of the COVID epidemic and run contests was always just so reckless and foolhardy. But yeah, then to talk about the actual wave.
Stevie, we'd love a little bit of reckless and foolhardiness on behalf of the WSL.
Yeah.
Most risk adverse organization.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's great day for surf journalism to have the tour again. It just cut adrift, isn't it? It just looks like it's just dangling in the breeze, like a half suck. I don't want to use that metaphor, but
please,
you know what I'm saying? A half suck cock at a wedding again, really, isn't it? I mean, it's not even half suck now. It's just sort of everyone's dropped their trousers and they're like, what now?
Where did you get the half suck cock at a wedding metaphor from?
I have no idea, mate. It's just an old bribey saying.
It's a lovely saying.
Yeah, it is. It's very evocative.
Do you think it means, you know, obviously it means it's leaving you wanting more?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of creating this hype and this expectation of fulfillment, and then, you know, leaving you with this distinct anti-climax. And I think, you know, that will really be Eric Logan's epitaph, I think, when it comes time to write it, and that could be very soon. And I do have it written, ready to go, Elo, if you're listening in, mate. So it's just what he does best. I mean, he's just created such the wall of positive noise and then the cone of silence. So, I mean, even his corpo speak now has lost its oomph, hasn't it? I mean, postponed. I mean, it's just postponed. I mean, come on.
but you know, but the fact that they got filming permits to Pipe was pretty sick. And the fact that they got everyone to Pipe was fucking, except for Ace Buchan and Owen Wright, was a great effort.
Yeah, it was. A major achievement. And I think, you know, when we look back on it, not from our, you know, inside perspective, but from the outside world looking in, I think it's going to go down as a great triumph. Even the Tyler Wright winning Pipe without getting barreled is going to go down as a, I mean, that got huge mainstream media coverage. They didn't even mention John. It was all about Tyler.
Well, that's the ongoing narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, so his messaging, speaking out to this sort of outside culture, it's effective in so much as it's his point of view that's getting across, but they still don't give a fuck, and you know, and he's lost the core, he's lost the center. And if you lose the center, well, you've lost everything.
It must be difficult for someone who isn't a lifelong surfer to try and interpret this odd sport that he's marketing to the world.
Incomprehensible. I've always said there's just a comprehensibility gap. It's not comprehensible to your average person. They'll never bridge that gap. Even the wave pool, the wave pool makes it worse, because for everyone who doesn't understand surfing, every single wave looks exactly the same, and they can't work out why one person gets an 8.2 and the other person gets a 6.7. It just makes no sense to them.
It's very similar to gymnastics in that way, that you'll watch it at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And you'll whatever. But you wouldn't watch 12 gymnastic events throughout the course of the year. So I'd imagine the Olympics will be well regarded and well watched, but I don't think it translates to pro surfing in general.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, just to go back to that point about why did they put sunset on, I can see the attraction in terms of sort of having an Hawaiian circuit to go pipe and then sunset. I can see the logic in that. And there would be a certain, cachet of credibility for a person to back up. I mean, especially if John won sunset, then, it would be hard to deny him. I mean, even if the tour didn't go ahead for the rest of the year, it would be hard to deny saying, okay, well, this guy's the best guy in the world right now.
Yeah, true, true. Or you would have Pipe and Sunset, maybe Rio, and then Felipe Toledo wins at Trestles and becomes the world champ.
It still could happen.
Could still happen, huh?
Could still happen, yeah. So let's talk about
Pipe, specifically,
yeah.
Your comments regarding Pip Toledo.
Yeah.
And I'll read a little. It was hard to watch Felipe Toledo in the first heat of the round of 32, for example,
yeah,
without feeling a real sense of pity.
Yeah.
Seven waves ridden in 40 minutes, nothing close to a clean make.
Mm.
Pip got buffed in the head by the lip. Pip outran the tube once, twice, three times. Yeah. Pip went straight to the beach.
Yeah.
There was talk in the booth all day about spiritual connections and the mental health benefits of the ocean.
Yeah.
And here was a guy, clearly unprepared on every level, melting down in front of our eyes. It was actually a relief when it was done.
Mm.
Where to for Pip? Isn't there some sort of God who can help him?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a sort of a very, it was kind of like performative non-makes. He was kind of trying to make out that he was sort of having a go, but you could clearly see that he didn't have the capacity to do it. Like, I think it's obviously a mental capacity thing. And, he was so clearly out of shape and, just, this is a guy that's just struggling. I mean, he clearly hasn't overcome whatever demons he's got to deal with in heavy surf. He's not even making progress. He's going backwards. So, I mean, but the commentator, it's just this weird sort of anti-reality we get fed, isn't it? It's just, it's bizarre.
Have you ever experienced those demons? That,
yeah.
Can you feel what he's feeling?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
When have you felt those?
Cloud break. Last time I was there, you sort of just get this negative thought pattern running through your head and this lack of confidence and you become a slave to that sort of interior reality that your brain is creating for you. It's incredibly hard to overcome.
What about little tactics you do to make it appear as if you want to catch waves, but you don't really?
Yeah, I know. Sort of making a show of sort of going on closeouts and going straight, sort of.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know, kind of outrunning the tube with a sort of flamboyant body language, like, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it closer, actually, but that's a good question. I mean, we've always had that at Pipe. There's always been those guys who, but, back in the day when people were sort of slipping off tour, it wasn't really, it's never really remarked upon. This is the first time I think there's been a guy at the elite world title contender who just can't get the job done there.
And surfing has reached a point now where 14-year-olds, 12-year-olds are surfing Pipe and surfing it pretty well.
Mm.
So it's not like, in the 90s or, when people first went to G-Land,
yeah,
and no one really knew how to tube ride. There's only a few guys who actually grew up on those waves who could surf them. But now everyone has the opportunity to surf them, and everyone bar clearly one serves them very, very well.
Hello.
Well, Steve, you cut out there for a second.
Yeah. So I just dropped out there. I'm back.
Okay, you're back. So I was just saying that, you know, in the 90s, you could be excused for being shit at Shapu or Pipe or G-Land. Yeah. But now there really is no excuse in 12-year-olds. Shred at those joints.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you'd have to ask the question, like, what's stopping Pip? Why doesn't he get a coach and just go hole up at G-Land or Chopes or Pipe and just figure it out?
I wonder if the mental obstacle is just too great. You know, sometimes you just get a thing where you just can't, you just know you can, you know, you can make it, you know, you can get tubed, you can do all those things, but you just, that just to get out of the ledge, you just can't put yourself there.
Yeah. So have you experienced that?
Oh, it's been my whole life experiencing it. Fucking hell. It's funny because when I used to hang out with Sammy McIntosh a lot, he loved big waves. And he always had some kind of death wish. And he'd always drag me out to joints. Oh, mate, it's just like Angara or something. It's funny because my fear morphed from this sort of terror and panic and whatever, just this sort of resigned feeling of, hopefully I make it through this one. And it was interesting to feel that shift and to be out. And when sets came more the terror, it's just like, fuck. But there was no thrill. That was the weird thing. Most people get a thrill. I just didn't get a thrill.
Yeah. So do you start off hopeful and then end up and then sort of go downhill? Like, does every session start, or maybe I can do it today?
No, never. I've never had any desire to surf big heavy waves.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we had a jet ski for a while, so we'll tie in a few bits and pieces. Nothing, you know, obviously nothing huge. But, that didn't give a thrill either. You know, you get towed into a sort of 6 or 8 foot barrel.
Yeah.
And throwers in the ground. I'd so much rather be surfing 2 foot little wedges and doing throwaway airs.
Yeah. How's the airs going?
Oh, shit. Someone, my favorite board, my little 5'6" lost bottom feeder that I've had for about 20 years. It, out of Bondo, two guys paddling for a wave. I had to avoid one. The other one soared through my board with his fins.
Mm.
Sorry, did I hit you? Sorry. I was like, oh, fuck. And, you know, and you're so used to it, they don't get mad. But I came in and the tail had a fin slice about 3 inches through the 4-inch wide tail block.
Yeah.
And I was trying to surf it, but you can just feel it about to snap off.
Yeah.
So, now I'm on a Stacey Wave Slave. But my little bottom feeder, it was funny because I just read a book called Peak, which Mark Matthews, the big wave surfer, gave to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just talks about deliberate practice. It actually spends 300 pages basically saying the same thing. If you want to get good at something, practice with intent.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck it. Next time we go out, I haven't done a little tail throw reverse thing, not an air reverse, just a tail throw reverse for about 5 years. And my foot is so far forward, I can't do anything. So for this surf, I'm going to take off, deliberately put my foot right in the tail block and do a little reverse. And I did it. I was like, fuck, it's all it takes. It's just a bit of intent.
Yeah.
But, 2 foot waves are my dream. Like, I look at it now, there's hardly anyone out. It's 2 foot and onshore. Go, oh, God. It's most people 6 foot and offshore. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah. I mean, well, just like assuming that Pip has the same psychology, I mean, should we just accept him for who he is?
Oh, that's fair.
Should we just forget about the whole thing of even trying to master this and just accept him for who he is? And even if he wins a world title at 2 foot trestles when he can't pull in a pipe, should we just accept his mastery for small waves?
How would history record that, Stephen?
Very poorly, I think. But I mean, should we be leading the charge for changing the way history sees him? Should we be saying
we should bend to fit Pip rather than Pip bending to fit us?
Exactly.
Whereas Italo and Gabrielle, Mick, you know, they and Kelly too, you know, they all had to try really hard to be comfortable in big waves.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Yeah.
And their legend is cemented.
Yeah. Should the mountain move to Muhammad?
I think the mountain should move to Muhammad.
Yeah.
Should move on over to Medina.
Because, I mean, we have to accept the possibility that could happen.
it's tailor-made for him, you know?
Yeah.
Be very, very hard to beat Pip at 3 foot trestles.
I mean, if like let's just say that the next contest is Snapper Rocks, 3 foot Snapper Rocks.
It's got Pip written all over it.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable.
Absolutely unbeatable. And then you know maybe Margaret's gets cancelled because the WA border closes. And then we move to I don't know, Rio looks unlikely, but let's just say that Snapper is the only contest now between, and then they maybe have the Surf Ranch and then finish it at Trestles.
Yeah. That's three from three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three from three.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Pip's the new champ.
Yeah.
The Brazilian cold front continues.
Exactly.
But what are your other takeaways from the Pipe event? Considering it may be the, you know, one of the few events of the year.
Oh, Kelly. Still a genius.
How good is Kelly?
So I mean, good.
You know, fuck, we rip shit into him, but
yeah,
God, he's good. I love every I just adore watching him.
Yeah, just amazing. So flamboyant. I just love his stamina. I love the way he can take a hit. That's sort of what like I appreciate about him the most is he's willing to go on backdoor bombs and just get absolutely obliterated. And I keep expecting, oh, this is the one he's going to come up with a caved-in skull and end up on the stretcher. And it never happens. Like, how can you take that many hits as a 49-year-old and keep paddling back out?
Yeah, it's extraordinary that he knows the place so well that he can, you know, wipe out in a way that he doesn't face plan like the rest of us would.
Yeah. I mean, that reef has put everyone in hospital, hasn't it?
It's put Dan in hospital, Heath Walker.
Yeah, J-O-B.
J-O-B, fuck yeah.
Ross Clark Jones.
John?
John broke his back.
Yeah.
Leo Fioravanti, broken back.
There's another broken back in there too somewhere. I'm sure someone else broke their back.
Bede, pelvis.
Oh, Bede, the pelvis. Jeez, imagine breaking your pelvis. Your love hinge. Imagine losing your love hinge. Jesus. You get a pump and you have this creaky old fucking pelvis. Hey, Stevie, now that we're talking about Pipe, let's talk about what you wrote about the chicks of Pipe. Like you mentioned before that Tyler is a Pipe master without ever actually having inside a tube there.
Yeah.
So I'll read. So if you bear with me, Stephen. On the beach of the Banzai Pipeline during adjournment in the men's final, Megan Abubo was interviewing the fresh victor of the Maui Pro Pipeline, Tyler Wright. Mm-hmm. Beg the question for the viewer, is that an historical moment in and of itself incredible, exciting? Tyler seemed downbeat, unbarreled during the final. It capped a bizarre admission that her confidence at the start of the day was zero. She was the epitome of the reluctant victor, a potent symbol of a sport that will brook any gulf from reality, ruin any broadcast, establish its credentials as the avant-garde in gender equality. Almost two decades since Blue Crush spearheaded a massive thrust in women's surfing, with the final of that pipeline providing the dramatic denouement of the film. Has women's surfing gone forwards or backwards in that time? If prize money is the measure, then huge leaps forwards. If performance at Pipe is the measure, then we are way behind the standards of the previous century. In one of the more blackly comic scenes, I love blackly comic, of the day was Pipe pioneer Rochelle Ballard reduced to giving real-time lessons in technique for successfully threading pipe tubes to hapless contestants. Carissa Moore was the only woman to demonstrate any basic proficiency at pipe and backdoor. She had the butt, hip drag stall, the positioning and the courage to huck the ledge, then go back for more after Savage Donuts. Tyler won the final with three scrappy turns on a backdoor wave off the reef.
Yeah.
Did you get much feedback about that?
No. Oh, there was a little bit of argy-bargy in the comments. I think there was someone who came in and called me out for it, for being, I think, sort of too negative. And it's just how to treat women surfing is a very big issue as far as a surf journalist goes, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny, I always view women surfing through my personal prism of surfing, and that's why I quite enjoy it, because yeah. It seems a lot more attainable.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you win a hit here and there. Not really. No, you get smashed. But it's funny because I watched the pipe thing, and I was the pressure that Sage and Teddy Anna Weston Webb were under in that first heat. was extraordinary. They had the pressure of the whole, femaledom on their shoulders and their beautiful shoulders.
Yeah.
And I thought, I thought they did okay because Piper's a fucking tricky wave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? But, I mean, it just goes to show that, like, you know, wanting to do it and being part of an historical moment doesn't make it. I mean, if you compare women's surfing at Pipe to women fighting in the UFC, there's a huge gulf, right? I mean, you've got girls fighting in the UFC who are just incredibly proficient at fighting. That's got to be the most dangerous sport there is, right?
Yeah.
So, when you're covering, say, if you were covering women's UFC, you can cover it in a very sort of open and honest way. You can say what happened. Whereas if you want to cover women's surfing and you want to say what happened objectively, then you're going to be perhaps perceived to be on the wrong side of history or considered to be dragging something down, which everyone on the organizational side of the sport is trying to push up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it's funny because in the UFC, when the stories about the girls come out, they don't say, Ronda Rousey doesn't grapple as good as Khabib or someone doesn't punch as good as John Jones or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas surfing, I think it's always viewed through the prism of how it compares to the men.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, that might be just an historical artifact because I guess women's surfing has been going long enough now, but I mean, in terms of the way they ran that broadcast, they had men's and then they put women's straight out there and then they had the women's final and then we went from the women's final to the men's semi, right?
Yeah.
So the juxtaposition between total competency and mastery and people who were just dabbling, just learning. Like imagine learning at Pipe on a broadcast.
Oh,
it's extraordinary. So to how to judge that and score that, and then all of a sudden they're scoring three wobbly half turns or whatever. It was the men's final that went straight back afterwards, actually. So you go from that, and then you go to Gabriel Medina getting an incredible, crazy deep and get four just after Tyler Wright just got a 3.7 for, you know what I mean? Where's the scoring scale? How are they scoring?
Yeah, it is a very difficult thing to to judge.
Whereas when UFC say, I'll go back to that example because it's what the pro surfing tries to model itself on. You know, say you've got girls doing the punches and the kicks and the submissions, but it's not being compared to men directly. There's a winner and a loser there on its own terms. It's not being judged in relation to men. You know, the standard is objective and it's independent.
Yeah, true.
Whereas how are they establishing that? Are they going to say, they haven't ever actually come out and say, well, we're going to judge the women on a different scale, on a different standard compared to the men.
Interesting. Is it what sticks in your craw? Is it kind of like the greenwashing of, the wave pools and stuff being built in the desert? Is it that kind of continually talking things up that shouldn't really necessarily be talked up, could be commentated upon a little bit more objectively?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's just the modern world, though, isn't it? Or the postmodern world.
The bloody modern world, or postmodern world.
Yeah. I mean, you can create any reality you want. If you say something is so, then I guess if enough people believe you, then it is so.
But it's funny, it's like Rotten Tomatoes, and you have the critics rating, you have the audience rating.
Yes.
So you'll have the WSL talking something up, and it's 10% whatever, but the audience 90% says no. It's like, have you ever seen what's the fucking name? Have you seen the show Nanette, the comedy special with Hannah Gadsby?
No, I've heard of it though.
Yeah, and so it's ostensibly it's comedy, but I'll throw a few quotation marks in there, and it's a monologue where talks about how bad life's been because she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
And pretty hard to watch, but the New Yorker, New York Times, is genius, another Netflix special. We look at Rotten Tomatoes, critics, 100% approval, audience, 23%. And I think it's, you know, a similar thing here. You have the thing that people are seeing this shit and hearing this stuff going, while the not the commentary, but the, well, the commentators on WSL, but the, you know, the journalistic elite and whatever are saying, no, no, this is great. You have to love this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, that's just a huge phenomenon, isn't it? This reality that's being created by this postmodern journalistic woke, in inverted commas, elite. And then the reality is your sort of gal on the streets experiencing it. It's so vast, the gulf. It's crazy.
We're all Megan and Harry now, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly.
I just entered a contest to try and win their book, actually.
Yeah, right. God, don't tell me they've got a book.
I mean, got a book.
Damn.
I don't remember what it's called, but I hope I win it. I really want to read it. Hey, so in other news, there's the Kelly Slater Surf Resort at La Quinta in the Coachella Valley.
Yeah.
18 million gallon tank.
Yeah.
Surrounded by hotel and apartments, costing from $1 million to $5 million American dollars.
Yeah.
The joint gets 3 inches of rain a year, and there's many buzzwords surrounding the wave pool. The mission is to attract and invest in inspirational people, engage great creators. Yeah. The ethos of this community revolves around the raw natural setting, the focus on sustainability, and a wellness-focused crowd from Southern California. You know, it's funny because I'd love to own a joint there. Yeah. I would happily go there. Yeah. But the greenwashing and the wellness crowd talk is very funny, isn't it?
Yeah. How do you get geeks writing this greenwashing stuff? Because I want a piece of it.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if you could write it though, Steve.
Fuck yeah, I could. I could write it 10 times as good. I'd go even twice as hard.
Do you think you know, the greenwashing stuff is deliberate, or you think that's how people think marketing is the only marketing that succeeds in our postmodern world?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, where does it all come from? Where does the source come from? There's a culture of that sort of corpo speak where it seems like that's the way that, you know, flimflam men like Elo get their hands on the billionaire dollars, as they have to sort of, it's sort of like the way a, you know, spider's mate, you know, the male spider has to sort of like trick the female with all this sort of exaggerated sort of, you know, flimflammery, and then the female spider can eat him. But it's the only way the male spider can attract, it can sort of distract. It's kind of like a distraction to get their hands on the big money, I think. So it has to be the way that these people can talk to billionaire classes. Because, I mean, this has got to be funded by venture capital somewhere, right? Or some...
Like, I guess it's getting funded by the... I guess it's some funding already, but funded by the real estate player. Because it's a 150-room hotel, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of houses built around there.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll try and get pre-sales, but at some point someone's going to have to stump up big money. So, I mean, where did that sort of culture begin? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I love the media talk. And I think it's purely a reflex. And I think because most media people I've ever worked with who work for companies are so institutionalized, they exist in this sort of Twitter bubble where everyone just talks about wellness and inspirational and creators and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And they don't know any better. It's funny, I had a meeting with some Wavepool people the other day, and I said, I love the idea. Just don't push the green shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking eating up electricity and water, and the world doesn't need a fucking Wavepool. If you're talking sustainability, don't build it.
Yeah.
You know, but I love it. But I love the idea. Just don't try and sell me all this horseshit.
Yeah. So for $1 million, would you get in the base? Would you get on the ground level?
Yeah. You know, if I had, didn't get divorced and lose my fortune, I'd be in. And if I could get US citizenship, and the yearly fees weren't too high,
I
could happily live in La Quinta, surfing Kelly's pool.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. The rest of my life.
Day in, day out.
Stinking useless life, mate.
How many waves would you need per day to keep the, you know, demons at bay?
10 waves.
10 a day.
Yeah. And that's probably even more, even 5 waves.
Yeah.
Even 3 waves. 3 of Kelly's waves a day. Maybe 3 on the right, 3 on the left. 6 waves total.
I'll be very, very happy, Steve.
So how long would that take to get six waves?
I think about 48 hours, the current cover between sets and Kelly's pool.
I was going to say, because if you could get your six in an hour, I mean, that gives you leaves you a lot of time. You wouldn't have to waste any more time thinking about anything else to do with surfing, would you?
No, so I just do fucking push-ups and chin-ups and stuff, look in the mirror, slick my hair back and whack off, get some pretty girls in.
Get in the chat rooms.
enough of those Discord rooms of people selling videos of Ellie Jean Coffee.
Oh, I don't understand the point of that.
Let's talk about the Mikey Wright rescue.
Yeah.
That did some great traffic on our site.
Epic scramble.
I was fortunate enough to be scrolling through Insta just as Tyler posted it.
Yeah, epic scramble.
And then obviously all the media outlets, Reed Beach Grits, they all saw it and they posted it. Mm. And, you know, it was just perfect for Australia, you know, the mullet, you know, the whole my beer.
Yeah.
It's funny because I watched it. I thought, why wasn't Tyler doing anything? Why wasn't Jess doing anything?
Yeah.
And it took a man, goddamn toxic masculinity at work,
yeah,
to actually go, hey, we're gonna do something.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And no one commented upon it.
No, they didn't. Except you.
Except for me. And I didn't even comment upon it because I was too scared. Hey, Chaz is coming in. Chaz is coming in live from my own.
So my phone froze.
Are you in an ice skating rink?
I am now. Yeah. The kids wanted to go ice skating after. Yeah. It would have been better today. I am so sorry, but it was a legit pow day and screw surfing. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
Are you at Jackson Hole?
I am.
Jackson Hole
Mountain Resort.
Sick.
Wow. It's a beautiful ice skating rink you're on.
It is. I mean, kids are out there right now.
Is that real ice? Is that like natural ice?
It is natural ice. I think they literally just dump water in the thing, there we are. We have
my kids just went ice skating in Ballina.
Oh,
Ballina gets very, very cold in December, doesn't it?
That's right.
I mean, cold and chuckle.
So yeah, back to Mikey Wright.
I'm so sorry for coming in so late, Steve. That's continue.
Well, Mikey Wright, Derek thinks Mikey Wright saving that guy is an example of toxic masculinity. What do you think?
Was it a guy?
Oh, no, was it a guy?
Mikey is masculine.
Toxic masculinity.
But did he save a guy or was it a girl?
I'm not sure. I think it was at the start they say it's a guy, but I think it's a chick.
Yeah, that's what I was really thrown off by the whole thing. I will say if Mikey saved a guy, he's not a toxic male. If he saved a girl, toxic masculinity.
So he should have let her die.
He should have. Let her like swim, spread your wings. This is your moment. Fly.
Yeah.
Chess, when you were watching it, did you wonder why Tyler didn't do anything?
Why didn't Tyler do anything?
I don't know. Everyone's giggling and shit.
She's the champion of the two. Exactly. Mikey's no pipe master.
No,
she's
couldn't even be
Leo. Yeah,
Cougar pipe.
Why were people? Did people think it wasn't that serious? And so my question was: did people think it wasn't that serious, and/or was it not that serious? Was the person going to get bounced on the rocks? The male, female, going to get bounced around and then sent back in, or was a saving needed? Was dramatic looking.
Yeah,
I'll give it that.
I think what happens. A lot of people don't realize the severity of how quick people can drown, how quick people can just have a gulp of water when they panic. And I see it at Bondi all the time. The clubbies around here, they're useless. I've seen clubbies paddle around drowning people, and you have to go out yourself and get them. And I think even though the person wasn't very far out, they're getting washed down across that little rock shelf thing, all it takes is one gulp of water and they're gone.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it was interesting to watch Mikey because he had that mindset. He knew that. But I was surprised that no one else did. Everyone's kind of giggling. But that's a very common thing. You see people going, ha, 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 there's a person caught in a thing. Someone should do something. Yeah. But a lot of the time you don't think, oh, that person's me.
Yeah.
You know, so, but Mikey, it was a lovely, lovely moment.
Well, the fact that here, at least, Mikey made mainstream headline news too. It was on leading the Apple News.
What a great week for the Black family.
Everyone's following the formula.
Yeah. But what a huge week for the Wright family. Tyler wins the Pipe Masters and Mikey is a worldwide hero.
I mean, which is Steve? Which?
Oh, we lost Chaz's iPhone. Chaz
is gone.
I think he
hit, damn it.
What'd you hit mute?
I accidentally did. I'm trying to put gloves on since it's freezing here. Hold on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, gloves are on. Steve? Would you rather be a pipe master or an international hero?
Pipe master.
Derek?
Oh, international hero for sure. Yeah. There's some dodgy pipe masters out there.
And, yeah. Do you reckon John would have gone in? Would John have scrambled?
Yeah, John would have scrambled for
Kelly
sure.
Kelly wouldn't have for sure.
It's yeah, Kelly would have kids. Kelly would have seen the headlines. Kelly would have known. Kelly was kicking himself after that happened that he didn't get those headlines. Kelly's later saves another person.
Yeah.
But the real story is, Steve, you're exactly right, or Derek, whoever brought it up. The story is not Mikey Wright saves drowning person. It's that Tyler Wright mocks drowning person.
Yeah.
It's true. They're laughing, huh?
They were laughing. Yeah. Her and Jesse Miley Cyrus just sitting there cackling on their safe shore.
Yep.
It was a lovely hat.
How did they get a yard so big? I've never seen a yard that big on the North Shore.
Yeah, because it looked like Italo's joint in Baia Formosa.
Perfect.
Where was it exactly? Do you know?
No, what did you think, Steve, by looking at it?
So if you go right up the end of Kainui Road there.
Are they all in the log cabins?
Past log cabins and rock piles, it's almost sort of butting up against that sort of Three Tables area, isn't it? Sort of up
towards Foodland.
Yeah. It's kind of that bit of coastline up there is where they were, wasn't it?
It'd be way past Foodland, right? That was unlike any house I've seen, yard I've seen on the North Shore.
On the pipe side of Foodland, not the Waimea side.
It's on, okay, so on pipe side of Foodland.
Yeah, not Waimea side.
Is that up the what are the shoreies out there? What's that little shore we want to surf? Can something?
Yeah. Kainui there along near rock piles and log cabins is all nasty shoreies there.
Hey, so Kyle Rothman told the world he'd go anyway for pipe this year, and he did.
Yeah.
As evidenced by his wave of the winter play. Thoughts? Chaz, you wrote, this is what you wrote. You wrote, a man who keeps his word is a rare and wonderful thing, an almost forgotten thing in this day and age of flim-flam and wish-wash, bent spines and reeds in the wind.
I stand behind it. He said what he was going to do, and he went out and did it. Imagine if Koa said that and then didn't burn somebody. What kind of black mark is that? Saying, I'm going to go burn anyone, and then not. Just being polite and waiting your turn.
What would it do for his reputation?
I mean, I think then once you can never make another pronouncement again. You're over. You've done your pronouncement and you didn't live up to it. And so living up to it and that being his wave, even if that was the worst wave he caught, he's got to submit the wave that he burned somebody on as his wave of the winter. Who did he burn, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know. It's Steve. Did you recognize him?
Definitely not. It definitely wasn't Mark Healy. It was a guy who made it look pretty easy, though, I've got to say. Like, he took that drop so nicely. Would he have pulled in and made that wave, the guy that he burnt?
He looked like
that was the wave of the winter.
Completely. But, I mean, that's the thing. And so did Koa rob the wave of the winter? But also, you're exactly right.
Shoulder hop of the winter.
The surfer he burned was fully competent. There was no stall in his pop get up. There was no hitch in his giddy up. He was there.
No, he was there.
If he would have pulled in, that would have been the wave of the winter.
Oh,
glory to
Koa Rothman.
Yeah.
Oh, is Koa Rothman the Tyler Wright of heroic ocean saves?
The Tyler Wright of pronouncements. No, he wasn't. He stood up.
Hey, Chad, so you just read a story for Beach Grid just before from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And its headline, it is time for World Surf League CEO Eric Logan to boldly take his place in history. Either step down or convince co-water person of the year and billionaire Dick Surf. what a wild name, huh? Mm. Well, how can I talk? My name's Derek Riley.
Yeah.
And billionaire Dirk Ziff went to Tavarua and put on a show, even though Tavarua is out of season right now.
Well, that's Logan, when I was writing it, I was wondering. I mean, not now. When it's in season.
When it's in season. We'll give it a few months. I had a look at the surf report. There's a few little waves there. It's like 3-4 foot at the moment.
Yeah.
Better than what's happening now.
Better than zero foot.
Yeah.
But truly. Like, I was thinking about it. I didn't want to kick the man when he's doubly down. But
yeah. And I said to that.
Yeah, but like it wasn't a surfer who brought it in. It was Eric Logan. Like, they can blame Yago all day. You never got sick. Like, Yago was, as far as anyone knows, never even really had it or tested positive at some point, but cured himself and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Eric Logan is truly patient zero. Eric Logan being patient zero and destroying the whole thing, Steve, don't you reckon at some point you gotta take it on? You just either have to say, okay, it was me, I blew it, I quit. Or sort out something better that other people can do.
Yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, you do... I want to feel sorry for Eric, but he's just slathered us with so much bullshit over the years that it's hard to, you know, like it's like the guy can't lie straight in bed. It's just, I don't know whether that's a congenital feature or what he's just learned. But I mean, even the postponement, you know, the sneaky little way they'd sort of tried to drop G-Land and Portugal off without saying anything, you know, like it's like.
But did Portugal go as well?
Yeah, Portugal just slipped off. And the last thing he said was, oh, Portugal's not cancelled, it's just postponed. We're going to fit it in. It's like, just come on, man. He's got to go.
It's right. Like, I mean, this is the moment that he's got to, like, either go or do something totally unforgettable.
Yeah.
Derek?
Fight Island. It's got to be Fight Island.
Yeah.
But Eric's no Dana White, isn't he?
No, he's not.
I was thinking, how mad are the... surfers who were there missing Christmas? Are they mad or are they happy? They missed Christmas to stay there for sunset, right? Because Pipe is ahead of Christmas. They had to stay for sunset after. He can't come back in.
Yeah.
So they miss Christmas with their families and then get sunset rug pulled out a week before.
Yeah.
I can't believe you got a Moncler beanie, man.
Do you like it?
I love it. I'm fucking jealous.
Oh man, you should see my Moncler snow boots.
Oh god,
they're real good.
Who sponsored by Moncler? His stuff you rack.
It was Yuri Padlachikov for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get his offcuts?
No, I got. They were pretty tight. I think Cersei actually bought me this beanie for a present. But I have a Moncler tiny coat and then my shoes. But she got some stuff from Moncler for that deal. Moncler is such a fine brand.
What's your Moncler tiny jacket, tiny coat?
I mean, it's just like a small down. It's not like one of those thick downs. It's this right here. I'll show you.
Oh, the green one. I'll take the green one.
Just, it's what I wore at Surf Ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah. Three fucking red eyes and in between retching.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful, beautiful jacket. God, it looks cold there in Wyoming.
Oh, it's so cold. It was warm today. Oh, but today, stinking today. Today was the day, Steve Shearer, that I forswore surfing.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, Steve, have you ever had like a bottomless powder?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
It's a better feeling than surfing, no? It's a better feeling than the best day surfing.
It's transformative, that's for sure.
I mean, feeling like you're like, do you ever feel like you're floating when you're surfing?
Yeah, it is. It's a floating, flying feeling. I got addicted to
anything.
It is. But just all the gear, all the clothes. I mean, when I look at you all wrapped up there like I don't know. And Derek's just sitting there with his shirt off, just sweating quietly in Bondi. I was like, I don't know. I like the warmth.
But I'm toasty warm in my sick snowboard kit. Yeah, the only problem is, as I told Derek, why I forgot my computer, or why the computer got accidentally left. Kids started snowboarding and she skis. And so I got her skis, boots, poles, snowboard boots that I have to haul up along with my stuff to the hill every day. So yeah, I'm a world-class Sherpa at this point.
It's not ski and scare.
No, we were staying with Travis, and Travis is not ski in, ski out, though he should be.
Mm. Yeah. So can we just go back to what's happening with Eric Logan and pro surfing?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to go, right?
He's got to go. I mean, so is this the end? Is this the end? Is it just going to get hacked off limb by limb and then Dirk's going to drop it? Or
I think it's a hack off limb by limb, but I think that I was really struggling with the story because kicking a man when he's down is never fun, right? That's not a good thing to do. It's not a good look. Yeah. It's not a happy thing.
Yeah.
And so I was struggling with the headline because the headline was going to be just Eric, like, this is it. Eric Logan's got to go. Like this, he himself wasn't a surfer. It wasn't, it was he canceled surfing.
Yeah, he did.
He himself, right? And so if you do that, you do the buck stops here, Harry Truman.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this was my fault. I respectfully stepped down.
Yep. Thank you for all your support.
I tried. I failed.
Over the years.
Yeah. Derek? Derek doesn't think so.
Thanks for your faithful coverage of the tour.
I don't want the last to end. We've been gifted so many lovely CEOs to make fun of. From Paul Spiegel, Dr. Goldschmidt to Eric Logan.
Actually,
How many of those do you take credit? Does Beach Grit take credit for taking down?
Oh, you've personally scalped them all.
I mean, if I can scalp Logan,
you've been swinging the fucking axe at him.
If I can scalp Logan, that's a pretty sweet belt right there, right? If I have speaker, Sophie, I didn't really scalp. I scalped Beth. So,
Beth, yeah.
Yeah, but Sophie, I think, was smart enough to go on her own accord. But if I scalp two CEOs and one chief, what was Beth again? Chief Entertainment Officer? Chief
Officer Cool. I think it was literally something like Officer Cool, was I?
Yeah. If I scalp her, I mean, her scalp is lower down on the belt. That hangs on the second belt. But
she got a billboard.
Get a billboard. Oh, yeah. Should we?
What's he gonna get?
Logan a billboard?
Oh, we have to do an Eric Logan billboard.
I brought.
He needs something. He needs something.
White man,
Santa Monica.
Maybe a belt buckle.
We nearly did a white man. Chuck a billboard, Steven. Remember when David at Scales and Eric Logan all gave the shucker to the camera?
Yeah.
And then there was the actual appropriation of the shucker, the white man shuckers.
That was definitely Elo's high point, though, wasn't he? If we go back, if we consider today to be the end, not officially, but unofficially the end of his reign as CEO, then his high point will be the triple shucker with you and David Lee Scales. That was when he had the surfing world in the palm of his hand.
What I don't get is why he didn't keep on, right? Like, I can't get Elo to save my life. I can't even get stinking Dave Prodan anymore to return a text. I don't know why they stopped. If they were willing to start to play, what did they think? What did they think Beach Grit was or Iowa? It's not like, I mean, I have not changed my stripes, right? Have I? Did I come in saying I'm a friend? And no, I was who I was. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to play. And then now they don't want to play, which is annoying to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they think they can sort of bypass the core, bypass the center. I mean, I think that really started with Paul Spiegel. I mean, that was his modus operandi. I'm going to talk to the mainstream and try and get taken seriously. Failed strategy for three CEOs in a row now.
Well, that, I mean, which one finally says, okay, fine. People who live comment on Beach Grit are really, that's the base we have to grow this from. Like, we're going to start there and we're going to grow it from there. But yeah. that's our starting place. And we are going to totally like engage and be here and then grow it from there, as opposed to growing it. Because it's never going to work growing it outside of that into that. That thing is always just going to, yeah. I mean, it's the outside article, Derek, that you sent today of Beach Grit mercilessly mocking adult learners. It's going to be a merciless mock forever until they come down and actually play.
Hey, we should read out a little excerpt from the Outside magazine story about a middle-aged man. I think it's called Middle-Aged Man Learns to Surf, or Man at Middle Life, or something. How I Learned to Surf in Middle Age, with Outside magazine.
The quote is,
the pursuit doesn't exactly hang out a big beginner's welcome sign. Mm-hmm. Inside of websites like Beach Grit, vulnerable adult learners, and it's said in a totally unironic way, as if it's an actual thing. Vulnerable adult learners, particularly those mythopoetically rhapsodizing about. Who writes mythopoetically rhapsodizing?
Mythopoetically rhapsodizing made me think whoever the writer was is a solid writer.
He needs to. He needs to in the lexicon of my Maruba brothers get bashed. Cut, what's that faggot haircut?
I think that last story you wrote about Ellie Jean Coffey was mythopoetic, though, Derek.
Oh, that was mythopoetic, wasn't it?
Derek, your whole Ellie Jean Coffey run needs to get made into a coffee table book.
It's a series, isn't it? It's one of those series.
So I love that that's... Have we talked about Stab Behind the Paywall yet?
Oh, we lost Chaz again. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Jackson Hole. We've still got to do some Manscaped ads too.
Yeah. So, Derek, when it comes to pro surfing, do you think this is this the now the official beginning of the end, or what's your take on it?
Well, I like your metaphor of the limbs being chopped off. I think that's it's just like you know when you're sort of dating someone mm-hmm. when you're going out with someone and they start wanting to see you less and less. It just has a vibe about it that they're just getting over it and. Let's just cancel that. Let's forget about that. While not really making it super clear. But I think if you read between the lines, and there's that story the other day, you know, the WSL trying to sell old jerseys for $7.
Yeah.
You know, Mick Fanning for $21, which is you can buy four Mick Fannings and have $9 change, or you can get one Bronny McCauley. And I was just thinking, you know, to sell those things at $7, this because the country jerseys were $7.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, with all the money that the owner has, do you really need that $7? Wouldn't it be better to put sold out on your store?
Mm.
So this seems like a fire sale. It's like a Persian rug store.
Mm.
Just trying to get rid of everything, get the fuck out of everything, and just shut the door and throw away the key.
Yeah.
Is that the vibe you're getting?
Yeah, I do. I think, though, I mean, I just want to go on record and say that pro surfing, I think it's both an unflushable turd and it's a dream too beautiful to die. So I think there will be someone pick up the pieces if Dirk drops it. Or it will just pop to the top of the bowl again and, you know, it will carry on.
I think so too. But I think it needs to shape shift. I think it can't be this 80s version of surfing where you go to Sunset and Steamer Lane and Bell's Beach and Margaret River.
Yeah.
You know, I keep expecting to be out if I can put on a jersey and go out there.
Yeah.
A pots or something. It seems so old hat and old fashioned.
Yeah. And they had all this time to redesign it, and that's what they came up with.
Yeah, I mean, it should be Flight Island, you know. Go to Tavi, go to No Can Do's or something. Just have a fucking big face up between Kelly and John Idolo and Gabrielle, probably not Pip. And then and then everyone's just getting these crazy caves.
Mm.
Coming out doing monster airs, and there you go. That is exciting.
Yeah.
Hey Stevie, we're gonna wrap.
Yeah.
But before we finish, I want you to tell me what book you've just completed. I'll tell you mine, and then you tell me yours.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a window into your soul. So I just finished reading. It's funny because I've read all the books I've had in my house, and I'm rereading everything now as a little exercise. I'm just pulling books out. I just read James Michener's The World Is My Home, read Why Men Like to Fight, Prison of Sex, Men Who Love Children, Rage,
yeah,
a book about journalism, All these things. But the very last one I read was the game by Neil Strauss, 2005.
Yeah.
He goes to the world of the pickup artists.
Yeah.
And I got two young boys, not so young anymore, teenage boys.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great skills is being able to approach and talk to and win over women.
Yeah.
So it was great to be reminded of IOIs and all the various tactics of the pickup artists. So, Steve, yeah. What did you just finish?
Well, I got through Chazzie Smith's Reports from Hell.
Is it any good?
Yeah, so funny. I mean, fuck, just the opening scene where he's in the back of the room with, what's his face, the general?
Petraeus?
Petraeus, yeah. I mean, that's just, that scene alone is worth it. And he's like his kooky little Christian mate. So I didn't realize they were all so dorky. I always think, you know, Chaz as being a sort of great sort of, you know, libertine and to find out that he has this sort of like conservative Christian sort of side to him, I found quite hilarious. Another one I'm reading is called Metazoa, which is about animal minds and the birth of consciousness, which is, you know, cashing in on this whole octopus craze. Did you see my octopus teacher?
I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this guy is sort of talking a lot about the sort of brains of the octopus. And I know that came out in the comments yesterday, with, you know, in relation to your Ellie Jean Coffey ani thing, you know, in terms of the plural of anus and octopus.
Yeah, plural of anus. Would you say anuses or ani?
I would definitely say ani, yeah. That's because it sounds nicer, cacti. And then the other one I'm reading is The Book of the Goat, which is a classic sort of a vintage farming classic, an English farming classic from the 1800s, because I've got goats and I'm trying to learn how to look after them better.
What have you learned about goats?
What they like to eat, how to milk them when they're sexually active, how to tell when they're sexually active, how to look after them, just a whole bunch of things. Fucking amazing animals.
What makes them amazing?
Oh, just they're so intelligent and idiosyncratic and eccentric and mischievous. And, you know, there's an old saying, for the person who has no problems, buy them a goat. But, you know, I don't quite see it like that. I never realized there was a goat shaped hole in my life until I got actual goats. I mean, I always feel as sort of it seems appropriate given my whole career, such, you know, in inverted commas, I've sort of tracked alongside Kelly Slater, the goat, and now I've got actual goats. And I've always said that when Kelly goes, I go. When Kelly quits, I quit.
Do you kill your goats or just milk them?
Milk them. Oh, well, not even milking them yet. I've got to learn how to milk them.
How many have you got?
Seven.
Are they all men?
No, there's four females and three males. They're all neutered males, but there was a sexed, a fully grown he-goat who impregnated the women, so there's been two babies born since they've been here.
So you've castrated two of the goats?
Oh, I've assisted in the castration. I didn't do the cut. I sort of held the legs akimbo while the vet sliced them open.
Was that a confronting sight?
Yeah, it was. It was confronting. I mean, it's always confronting seeing a male animal get castrated. But, you know, when you see how docile and lovely they are afterwards, it does make you wonder.
About testosterone?
Yeah.
What does it make you wonder, Steve?
Oh, you know, maybe how much better behaved certain males might be if they were castrated.
But they wouldn't jump into the raging ocean to save drowning people, though, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No, they'd be sitting behind the fence giggling, most likely. I'm not sure. It's an interesting phenomenon, this whole thing of sex hormones and biology and postmodern. But certainly when you've got goats, it does make you stand on the side of biology rather than the side of sort of postmodern choose your own identity.
Stevie, thank you for today.
Yeah, no worries, Derek.
Crying out in the night, Joe Henry.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money.